On to bigger and better things. Dr. Marianne Cooper has joined us now. She is with the Lightning Injury Research Program and a professor at the University of Illinois at Chicago. Dr. Cooper, welcome to KFGO Radio in Fargo, North Dakota.
Thank you. It's nice to join you.
It's great to have you on. This is the college that Indiana Jones taught at, you know, in the movies.
Okay, wonderful.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
That is true. That is true. This is where Indiana Jones taught fictionally, taught
right.
School.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's talking about the staff of Ra and stuff. Am I alone here?
No, you're probably not alone. You're alone with this company, with myself.
Okay,
because
Raiders
Cooper,
of the Lost Ark was out in 1981, and you are all way too young. Is that what I'm getting?
Well,
no.
Not necessarily.
I'm a professor emeritus. I retired from UIC about 9-10 years ago.
Okay,
yeah.
I'm
old enough to have seen the original.
We're on the same page.
When it came out.
Yep. I remember walking out of that movie going, that's the greatest movie I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
So the genesis of calling you was that there's a local story going around our neck of the woods about a Minnesota teen that was struck by lightning while laying in bed. The story goes that his father didn't even believe him. He's like, yeah, right. Go back to bed. Inside their lake cabin. And he's got the scars to prove it now. Is this something that happens frequently?
You know, we very, very seldom do we have injuries inside anymore. It used to be when people were using hardwired phones that people would get injuries that way. But it's almost unheard of to have an injury. Well, certainly a fatality inside. Injuries, yeah, once in a while. The thing that makes it for sure that he had it was the Lichtenberg figures, or that fern-like pattern, or, you know, it almost looks like a lightning pattern on his back. Because the only thing that causes that is lightning. Nothing else medically causes that.
So, Dr. Cooper, how did this guy survive getting a bolt of lightning through him? How many, you know, volts is that? And is he going to have health problems down the road?
Well, I hate to say anything about whether he's going to or predict anything about stuff. Mostly people have, or the things that they have most commonly for the survivors are brain injury, which is learning disability and kinds of things like you see with post-concussion syndrome, or chronic pain because of the injury to the nervous system. I don't know if he'll have those or not. Now, the question about how did he survive this, the analogy I use is when you put something in the microwave and you heat it up, before you get ready to take it out, you sort of tap it to see how hot it is.
Yeah.
Because we all know whether, you know, we're going to get burned or not. We have that in our brains after a while. Well, with lightning, it's just not around long enough to cause burning. Okay. It doesn't. I guess the best analogy for me is, if you had a small bucket and you had a fire hose and you were aiming that fire hose of water at the bucket, it would fill it up for a split second, and then the vast majority would go around it, right?
Yep. Mm.
That's what happens with lightning.
Okay.
So he didn't take, you know, 12,000 volts or whatever?
No, because physically it just is so fast and the rise time is so rapid and stuff like that. That the vast majority of goes around the person instead of through them.
So what do you suppose attracted that lightning bolt to come inside of his home and hit him while he was in bed?
That's a very good question. Nothing attracts lightning.
Ah, okay.
Nothing. Okay. Now, as scientists, we try to describe what happens with natural phenomenon like lightning. And so we can describe that lightning is more likely statistically to hit something that's tall, something that's isolated, or something that's pointy, which, of course, doesn't apply to people. But nothing attracts lightning. Metal does not attract lightning.
Really?
It will conduct the electricity after it's hit. Like, it'll go down a barbed wire fence for, you know, a mile or two. But what we tell farmers to do is about every fifth or tenth pole to put in a metal pole.
A lightning rod.
Because that will ground it and keep it from going a half mile down to the cattle herd that you got, you know, down a half mile from it.
That's a fine how do you do when you wake up in the morning and all your cattle are lying out there dead because
lightning
traveled on your barbed wire fence and they were leaning up against the fence.
That has
to have happened.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's happened. I could send you pictures of it. And it still happens very commonly in Africa where they still measure a lot of a family's wealth in cows or goats or sheep or things like that.
So
I do a lot of work in Africa.
Oh, I see.
Oh, interesting. In regards to lightning?
Yeah, lightning. Not a thing to do with medicine. It's about lightning and preventing lightning injuries, deaths, and property damage.
So is there a difference between Africa and the United States as far as lightning strikes?
Oh, yeah. First of all, there's a whole lot more lightning in tropical and subtropical areas. So a couple of the hot spots in the world for lightning is like Lake Maracaibo down in Venezuela. And also in the Congo and around Uganda and Malawi and Zambia and down in Central East Africa. So there's a lot more lightning. And unlike the safe places we've got here in the United States and in developed countries, they don't have substantial buildings. They don't have buildings that have plumbing and wiring going through the walls, which take the electricity away from whoever's inside it. They don't have a lot of metal vehicles. 90% of the housing in sub-Saharan Africa is still mud brick with thatch roofs or a sheet metal, you know, held down by some rocks or something like that. So they're not lightning safe. So everybody in those villages is at risk 24/7. The kids in the schools are at risk because the vast majority of those are not protected from lightning.
Wow, are they taking steps to become safe?
Well, that's what the organization I'm running is trying to do. It's African Centers for Lightning. It's aclenet.org, if you want to look it up. And we're doing our best to work with governments to improve the lightning safety and lightning protection standards. We're working with the government of Uganda to put lightning protection in the 184 new schools that they're building this year. We're working with universities to put together graduate training in lightning and electromagnetics and high voltage electricity so that they can, you know, so we can raise up Africa's own specialists in this.
Wow.
Well,
we're doing a lot of work on it.
That is
sounds
very
good.
Fascinating, yeah.
So is this an old wives' tale, or has this got any validity to it? Some people think you're safe in your car in a lightning storm because your tires are rubber and you're not going to get struck by lightning.
Okay. You know, we've been teaching against that myth for at least 25 years now, but it still comes up in almost every interview.
Well, when you're talking to us here in North Dakota, you know, we're still, hey, I'm safe. I got big rubber tires. Come on, get in the car.
Well, you know, if lightning has burned its way a mile or two through the air to get down to you, that inch or two or 4 inches of rubber on your big tires is not going to protect you.
Oh.
It just doesn't make any sense.
Okay. Not if I got what a really happens- big truck? Really big tires?
No
difference?
No. Okay, so what happens with electricity is it's made up of negative electrons, right?
Okay.
So those electrons all want to repel each other, like charges want to get away from each other. So they're going to get as far away as possible, and that means the outside of the car.
Okay.
So lightning hits the car, it goes around the outside of the car, not through you, and then jumps to the ground through the axle or the bumpers or, you know, one of those things. I've got pictures of that, too. If you're
that would be incredible if that happened.
Yeah. Interesting.
And so it may fry the electronics inside the car because, obviously, a lot of those are connected, you know, with metal and stuff like that, and some stray charge can go around in there. But you being inside the car are perfectly safe.
Okay,
now, it's not pleasant. Somebody said it was like being on the inside of a car, inside of a garbage can that somebody threw a couple cherry bombs into.
Ooh,
so
yeah.
It can be pretty upsetting psychologically, but it's not going to hurt you medically.
So let's talk about, there's a lot of, I would guess, myths that you're trying to bust that are decades old now. What is the one thing that you wish everyone knew about lightning, that basic 101 of lightning that no one seems to know that drives you crazy?
that lightning safety is your own personal responsibility. You can't blame it on anybody else. The National Weather Service can't tell you about every time lightning is going to hit. So you have to pay attention to what's going on around you. And that means get the cell phone off, you know, get the earbuds out when you're running on the lake shore, or, you know, jogging on your evening run.
Mm-hmm. Holding a 9-iron.
Right. On a golf course, right. Although that doesn't matter. Yeah. It's just the higher the
You're
right,
more of
metal,
a lightning rod
right.
or something.
Nothing attracts lightning. We have to walk away from this conversation with that as well.
Well, let's get another.
But it does make you taller. The 9-iron makes you taller.
Right.
to the lightning. So is this one true, or is this just a baloney? You can be out there and you feel a little static electricity in your hair. You're supposed to hit the ground because the lightning is hunting you down?
Yeah, that doesn't always happen, but it's certainly a warning when it does. It's more likely to happen when you're up hiking on a mountain or something like that. And then you may actually hear some humming going on, or see a little static charge, or your hair stands up because of the static charge. That means you're in a lot of danger because you're already in a very high electric field.
Wow. And is it hitting the ground? Will that make a difference?
Well, it may or may not. I mean, lightning's still probably going to likely hit somewhere around you, so you may still get injured by ground current, but you're less likely to get hit by a direct strike.
Ground?
It turns out that, you know, most people aren't aware of all those other ways that you can get injured, so they're not necessarily aware of the ground current. If lightning hits a distance away from you, it spreads out through the ground, and if you've got 1 foot closer than the other, then the current can actually go up one leg and down the other.
Incredible.
So it can still get you. That causes over half of the deaths in developed countries.
That's incredible. It travels through the ground and can grab you by the leg and go up one leg and down the other. That's incredible.
Yep. It's really hard to pump electricity into the ground. It's a pretty good insulator. So
yeah, you would think. Just think. So how close... this is something that I think is must be frustrating to get the word out to people, is they think that that storm is, that's 10, 15 miles away. I'm not going to get struck by lightning even though there's clouds over me. How close does a storm have to be for lightning to be able to strike?
You know, lightning can travel 10 or 15 miles in any direction from the thunderclouds, from where the thunderstorm actually is. It doesn't have to be raining where you are for you to be injured. And so what we do with the warnings is, you've probably heard of when thunder roars go indoors. The reason we use that is that you can hear thunder about 10 miles away. By then, you're already in danger. Frankly, you're already in danger at 15 miles, but lots of times 15 miles, that storm is going to go north or south of you or something like that. So in order not to give too many false calls, because if there's too many false calls, people stop paying attention to them, right?
Yeah.
So in order not to make too many false calls, we make it very simple. Even three-year-olds can remember if thunder roars, go indoors. Because by the time you hear thunder, you're already in danger.
Wow.
You know, if you got your earbuds in, are you talking on your telephone, or, you know,
well,
doing stuff like
that. We are doing a better job, though, aren't we? I mean, like, you know, I do a couple of ball games at different stadiums in town, stuff like that. And when there's a storm around, boy, that siren goes off. We didn't have that when I was a young man playing ball. Nobody even thought about having a lightning siren or something. We're doing a better job, aren't we?
A much better job. I mean, we've even had professional football games that are being televised delayed because of lightning now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'll tell you, it's stories like you're doing right now. It's talk shows, it's all the newspaper articles, it's the discoveries, National Geographic that have done specials on lightning. That's what's gotten the word out. You guys are saving lives just by having this radio show, by getting the information out again. We only had 16 deaths in the entire United States in 2017. That's less than 1 in 20 million people who live in the United States.
That's great.
Incredible. Mm-hmm. You know, more kids probably die falling out of trees every month than adults died in the entire year in 2018 or 2017.
Well, let's wrap it up like this. We may have given you, we might be giving you the platform, but you're the one with the information that's saving lives.
That's right.
Dr. Marianne Cooper.
Because we think we can all just get in our car and we'll be just fine.
You will be. Yeah.
Yes, you will. Okay. You will be. Yes, you will be fine now. Now we know that.
That's right.
Dr. Marianne Cooper, what a great conversation.
Yeah.
This was so interesting. It's going to be podcast at KFGO.com. So we'll invite others to access it that way and we'll share it all about. And if you want to look up her work, of course, you can find her, as she said, at the African Centers for Lightning and Electromagnetics Network. That's aclenet.org. We're going to put that link at kfgo.com as well, so you can find all of the information there. Dr. Marianne Cooper, thank you. You're saving lives. We're just giving you the microphone, and we're happy to do it anytime.
You're not related to Dr. Sheldon Cooper, are you, Mary Cooper?
That's my husband's hero. He even dresses like him with the T-shirt. Honest to God.
He
does.
Great.
My husband's a physicist, so he, you know.
Don't call him a rocket scientist.
I mean, I don't want to ask it. Did you have children?
We adopted a couple children in our 40s, yeah.
Okay.
Thank goodness.
Smart kids
because,
out there.
Yeah.
More
someone,
smart people.
Someone should be raised by you for sure.
They're not going into radio.
Oh, God bless you.
No, they're
God
not. Thanks, Dr. Cooper.
Thanks, Dr. Cooper.
Have a great summer.
You too.
Okay. Bye.
And the thunder rolls. The thunder rolls. And the lightning strikes. Another love grows cold on a sleepless night as the storm blows.